thanks for joining us for another episode of Forever 39 with Annette. She's Annette and Megan. I'm Megan. We hope our podcast helps to show you that your ridiculous thoughts about life, love, celebrities, and relationships are shared by us too. Want to chat with us? You can hit us up on Twitter at NJ1015, hashtag Forever39. We beg you to head over to Facebook and like us. And you can always email us at forever39@nj1015.com. Coming up in this episode, we'll talk about the changes we've noticed in our bodies now that we're 40, our favorite and the best board games. But first, we're going to discuss why some hubbies and wives don't wear their wedding bands. And later on, we're going to have a special guest joining us in the studio. So, Annette, I always know when a topic we have is going to be an extra hot topic. The topic of the wedding rings, definitely. I've asked so many people over the last week what their thoughts are, if they wear them. I'm getting voracious texts, calls, emails, different opinions from people on whether or not they wear it. I don't have mine on right now. And I promise you, my husband's away. His is sitting at home. I don't care. I don't care that I don't have it on. He doesn't care that I don't have it on. I don't care that he's traveling and doesn't have his on. But I have friends that are adamant, like huge fight if their spouse doesn't wear it, boy or girl. Do you have thoughts on this?
I'm definitely on the side of I need you to wear the ring. I really want the person that I'm married to have the ring on. I think it's just a show of respect, a show of maybe admiration, a show of I'm happy to be wearing this. I don't know. It's just me. I definitely would want you to have it on. I mean, I think with famous people, there's a lot of famous men. Our president, for example, does right. not wear a wedding ring. Jay-Z, Prince William. But we know that they're married. So I don't really care if you're famous and you don't wear it, because most people who are famous, people who are in the public, know that they're married to so-and-so. But when you're just a normal, everyday person, I don't know if you're married if you don't have a wedding ring on, unless I know you. If you're a stranger, I have no idea.
Yeah, but then you can just, one of the things, it's funny, my sister and I were texting, and one of the things she texted me, she's like, oh, remember this mutual friend we grew up with? Whenever she would run into him at a club, his hand would always be ring free. And it became a joke between her and her girlfriends to always look at his hand, and his hand was always bare when they were out at the club. So the ring can just be slid off.
The ring can definitely be slid off. So, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, I think it does probably depend on the circumstance. Some men and women don't wear it because of maybe their comfort level. They don't like jewelry. Perhaps it's their career choice. They can't wear jewelry because they are working around heavy machinery. Maybe they right. gained weight. But I don't know. I mean, they've done studies and they have found that women find men that wear wedding bands to be more desirable. So you could switch that around and say, well, maybe it's good that my husband doesn't wear a wedding band because women find him less desirable. But right. I still want you to wear that wedding band.
I like when Mike has it on. To say I don't would be a lie. His ring is too big for his hand. So literally he can put his hand and gravity will slide it right off. So we just need to get him a new band. But every band we try is like, it's too thick. It's uncomfortable. But it just needs to be thinner and a more comfort kind of band. The one thing I do hate is when guys are like, oh, I'm not used to it. Well, get used to it. Don't say you're not used. Of course, none of us are used to wearing jewelry. You don't come out of the womb wearing
jewelry.
Rings.
Right, like, right.
But you know what is also interesting? And you might notice this with girls our age. A lot of girls are getting anniversary rings or ring upgrades and not wearing their wedding bands. I was reading an article about that, and a lot of women are up in arms because they feel like the wedding band symbolizes the devotion and love and commitment, and these women are just wearing these huge diamond rings with no wedding bands. I think if that finger's covered, it doesn't matter if it's covered with a tattoo or a diamond.
I'm totally with you on that. Like, I don't have an issue with, you know, replacing the original band. I think sometimes in life, it depends on where you are. Maybe you got married when you were 22 and you could only afford ring X, but now you're 32 and you can afford a nicer ring and it's something that you really want to give your partner. I don't have an issue with that. A ring is a ring. I do think it's probably nice, of course, keep the original wedding yes. band that you exchange with each other. Yeah. But I think if you want to upgrade, I don't have a problem with that.
But upgrade and just wear a new style engagement ring or upgrade new wedding band. Because these girls are not wearing a wedding band at all. They're just wearing the upgraded engagement ring.
To me, if you have something on that finger that looks like an engagement ring, I would think most people know, okay, this person is not available.
I was talking to my friend Kelly, who works in HR, and she was telling me that at her job, if someone comes in for an interview and he's older, where perhaps he should be married, and his finger is bare, they actually see him as unsettled. And he doesn't go into the top candidate category because he's not supplying for maybe a wife and family. Wasn't that interesting?
Now, that is very interesting because I saw research from yourtango.com, mm-hmm. and they surveyed women about wearing their wedding rings or not. And they found that 1 in 3 women report removing their wedding rings in certain situations. And the number one reason, 35% report that they remove their wedding rings for career-related reasons, and 29 said they remove their wedding rings and going for a job interview, because I think the opposite in some ways can be said about women, and that employers don't necessarily want to see that you're married if you're a woman, because they figure, oh, okay, if she doesn't have children, she could have children. If she does have children, maybe she's going to have another child. She's going to be out on maternity leave, or she's not going to be available to work at night because she's got, you know, Bobby's play at high school or whatever. So sure. I think it's interesting that women feel like they have to remove it, whereas men, I guess, need to put something on even if they're not married.
Okay. I have two thoughts on this. One, whenever I've gone for job interviews in the past, I've taken off my wedding ring, my engagement ring. I don't wear anything. My hands are bare. I do full hair and makeup. I try to dress really nice because I feel like if I'm interviewing with a man, it's going to get me farther. Call it what you want. I don't care. Call it sexist. But I feel like it's going to get me farther to, one, think I'm single, and two, to look nice. It sounds horrible.
I would agree with that.
I think it makes the world go round. And when I get pulled over by a cop, I slide it off.
Really?
If I have it on, even if I don't have it on right now.
Well, I'm not married, so I don't have a wedding ring, but I might need to do that.
I think with a guy, I don't know what it is. Call me sexist. I think it'll get you farther.
That's an interesting point. And within this survey, it was interesting to read that so many women are really just removing their rings for career-related reasons. But they did find that 22% said they remove it when out with friends. And of that 22%, 59% said they're doing it because they want to appear single, while 11% said they were looking for somebody to cheat with, and that's why they were removing it. So I thought it was interesting that, for the most part, though, women are removing it because they want to try to get ahead in their careers, and that very few were really looking to remove it because they wanted to hook up with somebody.
I'm wondering if, and again, call me a fool, I trust my husband implicitly, and maybe that's why I'm ridiculous about it. I have girlfriends that are adamant that their husbands wear it, like crazy about their husbands wearing it. It's never really discussed with us.
You think, though, that's because they don't trust their husbands, or is it because they don't trust females and they want their husband to wear the ring because they want it to be a message to other people? Look, this guy's taken. He's off limits. See, that to me is why I would want my husband to wear it. I mean, I would hope that if I marry somebody, I trust them enough to not cheat on me. But I would want other people to know he is taken, and to maybe not make a move. Now, that's not to say that that's going to stop anybody.
Yeah, because you're saying statistically it shows the opposite.
Right, so maybe he shouldn't. Don't wear a ring then. Yeah.
We're not even exchanging
exactly
rings.
I know that it's interesting that women find men who, well, it makes sense, though. Women find men who are married more desirable because I guess if they're single and they're looking to settle down, they realize that this man has already taken that step.
Right, he has that potential.
Exactly. So maybe that's what it is. Now, I don't look at men like that. When you're married, and that's it. I would never, ever cheat knowingly with a married man. And I say knowingly because you never know. Sometimes you get involved with somebody that you don't know is married, but I never would willingly seek it out. Now, I do have friends who have cheated with people who are taken, and they knew they were taken before the cheating ever happened. I'm not into that. I don't get that.
I don't get it.
That's a complicated relationship. That's another topic.
Right.
Now, I do want to know what your opinion is about man engagement rings. So I was reading that The Knot did a study, and we've talked about The Knot before. They're a great website for all things wedding.
True.
And they found that 5% of engaged men are wearing rings, and they call them man engagement rings.
I find nothing more desperate than a girl who proposes to her man.
No, this isn't even that.
What is it?
That the man proposed to the woman, gave her a ring, but he also has a ring. It's not the other way around.
Marriage will never last. These are the same people that do promise rings. Like, one day I'm going to get engaged to you, Marcia.
Right, yeah. Here's a promise ring.
Stupid. But that's along the same line in my head as the promise ring, the man engagement ring. Oh, God. Yeah, if Mike said that, I would have ran so fast.
Well, we want to know what you think. Is it okay for a married person not to wear a wedding ring? And what do you think about man engagement rings? Are they a do or are they a don't?
Don't.
Take our poll at NJ1015.com. The name Mutlu is probably unfamiliar to most of our listeners, but he is a fantastic Philadelphia musician, and he is a great singer-songwriter who wrote a song about board games, which is one of my favorite songs of all times because it celebrates all things board games.
I've never heard it.
It's a great, great song. And I love board games. I have a game night group that meets once a month. Jill Myra, who does our traffic in the morning for South Jersey, is part of it.
So much fun.
And we have an absolute blast.
How many years have you guys been doing this?
Oh, my goodness.
For years.
I want to say a good 10 years.
I want to say so, too. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. So we have a pretty big group, so we have to play games that can work for about 8 to 10 people. So there are certain games that are unfortunately off limits, like checkers and things like that, because you need to have enough, obviously, to go around, and checkers just doesn't work.
A really intense game of checkers.
But it's great because I was looking online to find out what people's favorite board games are, and there's not an official list. But there are two websites called Ranker.com and the Top10s.com. And they basically let people choose what their favorite thing is. And then depending on how many votes that thing gets, it moves up and down on the list. So
cool.
And I pulled down the top 10 best board games from the Top10s.com. And this is the list current as it is today. So it could change tomorrow. But number one, Monopoly.
That's your number one, isn't it?
I love Monopoly.
Have you ever finished a game?
Oh, absolutely.
I never have once.
Absolutely. You've got to come and play with us.
I will.
Number two is chess. Three, Risk. Four, Life. I used to love Life when I was a kid. Five, Clue. Anybody?
That's one of my top three for sure.
Love it. Six, Settlers of Catan, which I have to tell you, I've never heard about. So I think I'm going to have to investigate that one. Seven is a favorite of my best friend, Scrabble. Eight, Battleship. Nine, Checkers, which is also one of my favorites. And 10 is Sorry. So
I love to play that with my niece and nephews. I'm so obnoxious about it because I'll be like, sorry, and they want to kill me.
I like some of the old school games that I played as a child, which are not on that list. Like one of my favorites, Trouble. I used to love to pop the bubble and you'd hear it make the noise. And I was like, I love this game. I just love the noise.
A game from our childhood. Remember the game Operation, of course.
The best.
So if you would touch the sides, it would buzz. My mom wouldn't let us have that game because the buzzing drove her insane.
She's like, turn it off.
So it was banned in the Barcel house. Like, we could not have that game anywhere in our house.
Oh, that is too, that's too cute.
Oh,
I mean,
my goodness.
But then there's some other ones that I like. I love Taboo. I am a crazy Taboo player. Love that one. Headbands is another one that's great. But
Headbands is super fun.
But here's the best. Have you ever played Reverse Charades?
What is that?
It is fantastic. So Reverse Charades is, instead of one person doing charades, it's your entire team. So there's like five people doing charades. They're not allowed to talk about it. So let's say you're trying to do something like elevator. Well, everybody has a different idea about how to do elevator. And so there's five people that you, as the guesser, are supposed to pay attention to. And it's bloody impossible because
so it's all the team
is like all over the place.
It's the whole team except one person.
Exactly. So it's the whole team and then there's one guesser. It is brilliant. It is so much fun.
You know a game I don't get? Everybody was all about, this is like a year or two ago, everybody was all about Cards Against Humanity.
I hate that game.
I don't think it's clever at all.
I don't think it's funny.
I don't either. I'm like, oh, well.
I actually ended up giving it to my best friend. I'm like, you can have it. I can't stand it. We played it a couple times for game night and it went on and on.
And it's not even entertaining.
I didn't find it interesting at all.
You know a game I love? We grew up playing it. Every weekend we would go to my grandparents. They lived down in Maryland. So my cousins would go and I would go. It'd be our whole family. And we would do Uno all night long. We would play
Uno. I used to love Uno.
Oh my gosh. And it was such a great game. And still to this day, we would drop anything to play that game. I think it's the best game there is. I think it's such a great way to teach strategy to kids and colors and numbers. And then it's still entertaining and fun to like give someone a draw two or that nasty draw four. Oh, I live for it and I love to win.
There's a lot of games too that are not really that popular any longer that used to be like Parcheesi.
That was one of my, that's on my top three.
I remember Clue my and grandparents Uno. Playing Parcheesi. And then there's like card games too. Like, I'm sorry. I mean, who can't get behind a good game of War? Right?
Yes.
I mean, that's like one of the best card games ever.
Yes. Or Hearts. I used to play Hearts with my grandmother. I love that.
And Spit is another one that I really used to love playing when I was a kid. My best friend and I would play at the, I used to live in an apartment complex, mm-hmm. and we would go to the pool every day in the summertime, and we would play like a marathon games of Spit, and we were so quick. And now when we try to play, it's like awful because we're so slow. We're like, oh, there's the card we need to put on the pile. And it's like in slow motion, you know.
That,
but when we were
yeah.
kids, it was like boom, 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 boom.
We would play that all summer long too, yes.
Oh, I know. Just, you know, it's one of those things you used to do as your childhood. So what's your favorite game?
Definitely Uno. But you okay. know what game I have such an affinity for? Games, actually. I think of them as almost like a family, the same type of game. Connect Four, Chutes and Ladders, Candyland, Don't Break the Ice, Twister, Guess Who?
Hungry Hippos.
Hungry Hippos. Yes. I had that when I was little. I loved it.
Well, there's so many great games. So in the battle of the board games, we want to know what you guys think. Does Megan's favorite game of Uno?
Yes.
No. Reign Supreme, or are you with me and you think Monopoly, which is my favorite game, is way, way better?
Whatever.
Let us know what you think by taking our poll at nj115.com. So before we start this next topic, we would love to hear from you guys. So if you have any questions for us, want our opinion about something you're struggling with, or if you have a topic suggestion you're dying for Megan and I to talk about, we want to hear from you. So email us at forever39@nj115.com, or you can find us on our Facebook page under the New Jersey 101.5 page. And joining us for the last topic is Miss Toni Ann Antonelli.
Welcome, Toni.
Hello.
She is our digital managing editor for programming, which basically means she works with all the talk show hosts for the website component at nj115.com. Mm-hmm. And we are here to talk about what we have noticed since we've turned 40. So Megan and I are both 40, although I will be 41 in like 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And Toni Ann is 42. Ha ha.
So since I'm the baby of the room, I'm just going to sit back.
Oh, yeah, shut up.
With
Megan.
My perfect body, and you two can discuss what change you've noticed.
Well, I noticed in doing research that there's a few articles that I found online that pretty much are consistent with what some of the changes are that happen to a woman's body mm-hmm. once she turns 40. And it's pretty generic, basic stuff like muscle loss, higher stress levels, because most women at this age are raising families and then also maybe taking care of their elderly parents, mm-hmm. weight gain, which for me has always been an issue, more aches and pains, and of course, hormonal changes.
Of course.
So I don't know if there's anything you guys have noticed since you've turned the big 4-0.
You know what? First thing I've noticed, Sir Isaac Newton was a genius. And because seriously, gravity works. Because nothing, you guys, is where it's supposed to be.
No.
Nothing just, you know, there's a line from a movie, time marches on and eventually you realize it's marching across your face. So yeah, little things like that. But you know what? I my body's always been like, I don't need an alarm to wake up. I just wake up. It's
always
like 4 hours and I'm up and I'm like wide awake.
You
know
sleep
why.
4 hours every night?
On a good night.
But since you were a sleep. Since you were a child?
You know what? I started noticing this in college. In college I would get like 4 hours of sleep and then I'd be wide awake, no alarm, nothing, just ready to go. 4 hours.
Wow. That
seems to be my ceiling.
Mm-hmm. My perfect is, I find 7. If I get any more than that, I'm groggy. If I get any less
really?
Than that, I'm groggy. Yes,
I'm good
7.
With 8.
Okay.
I mean,
yes,
I could go on very little if I need to, but
right.
8 is ideal. But have you guys noticed, like, when you look back at pictures of when you were a kid mm-hmm. or in your 20s, I feel like when I look in the mirror, I can see, obviously, that I'm older, mm-hmm. but I don't notice it as much as when I start to look back at those photos of when I was in college and you had that sort of, like, youthful glow.
Mm-hmm.
That's just gone. Like,
the baby
I mean,
face.
I might not have a mm-hmm. million wrinkles on my face, but I don't have that youthfulness that I once did. And that's when I really notice it. I'm like, oh, like, what happened to that?
You got tired and you started working. And
right.
Yeah.
But Toni and I totally agree. I'm so tired now. And I think it's because I have so many more responsibilities than when I was a youthful mm-hmm. college student with just classes and papers to write and a stupid little part-time job.
Do you ever look back, though, and think, God, I stressed so much about, oh, this paper's due,
or yes.
I'm going to be 3 minutes late for this class. And now, I mean, in hindsight, when you look back at all those things that you stressed so much about, they seem so insignificant. And now you're like, now I really have things to stress about.
I don't think I really stressed then. I always got things done. I'm a very type A person, so I would check things off my list, papers, studying, attending class, whatever. But then I started to notice when I got married and we have a house and there are bills and it's all on us, and that's when I started to stress. Mm-hmm. That's when it hit me. And so through my 30s, it was this whole stressful climb for me. And then I started to notice in my late 30s a change where I started to realize, like you guys are saying, it doesn't matter. You're going to get stuff done. If you lose your job, you lose your job. If you're going to have to make a mortgage payment, you're going to have to do those things. And it's life. So you can either enjoy walking through it or stress about every little thing.
Sure.
And there's lose so much.
Megan and I did the topic on our very first episode of Forever 39 about how you let things go and you become a certain age. So for me, stress level isn't probably as great as it once was because I have learned to let things go. But the physical changes that I've noticed mm-hmm. is what is kind of daunting about entering into the 40s. Like, one of the biggest things I've noticed is my eyesight. My friends used to make fun of me and say, you have like this like weird eagle vision where you I don't have that any longer. Like, I can tell that I can't see like I once did. I can't see things as far away as I used to. And that's been a relatively new change for me. I'd say like within the last 2 years. I'm not at the point where I need glasses, but I've definitely noticed that. My hearing is awful, but that's thanks to all these years in radio.
Right.
But those changes can be a little scary because you're like, oh my goodness, I'm starting to feel like I'm definitely getting older. My body is starting to get older.
You know what's interesting to me about you, though? Annette keeps such a busy social schedule. And Tony Ann, I don't know if you do the same, but I can't. Like, I don't want to go. If I tell someone I'm going to go out, I dread it. And then I go and I have a great time right. and it's so fun. But one of my really close girlfriends and I have a great rule. And we have this rule. We can cancel on each other 5 minutes before we're supposed to leave our houses, and we can't get mad at the other one.
That's great.
That is a great rule.
That is great.
Rule, because sometimes you just don't feel like it. I could never keep your social schedule, Annette. I could mm-hmm. never do it.
Oh, you totally could do it.
Oh, you're always out and about.
You make it sound like I'm like some sort of
social butterfly.
You are. I think it's wonderful. You get to see so much and you do so much. And I'm like, yeah, it must have been fun. I'm home in my pajama pants with my ice cream.
I'm watching my HGTV, having my popcorn. Right. Well, Tony Ann, you're very busy as well.
I am. I'm always doing something. But I'm the same way, Megan, like what you said. Like, there's times when my friends, you know, we make plans and part of me is kind of a little bit in the right. back of my head hoping, gosh, I kind of hope this falls through because I really am comfortable in these PJs. But then, you know, I go and like you, I have fun and, you know, you enjoy it and then you're glad that you went.
Yes, absolutely.
Every time. Yeah. That's true.
The other thing I've noticed, and I don't know if you guys have noticed that, because I feel like you both have very youthful looking faces. And I know, Tony Ann, especially, people are always shocked to find out you're the age that you are.
Yeah.
But have you girls noticed that, like, I've noticed, like, the sun spots starting to form on my hands, and it's freaking me out.
Now I have to look.
Because I'm like, I try really hard to stay out of the sun because I'm very, very pale.
Right.
But, I mean, I don't always remember to put sunscreen on my hands, but I've noticed, like, in the background, I'm like, oh, my goodness, in 10 years, what is this going to look like? Have you not noticed this, or is it just me?
You're
looking at me like, me right now.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God. I seriously might go sit in the corner and cry. Right. I can't.
Well, I mean, even your neck, like.
Even your neck, what? What's wrong with my neck?
I mean, even your neck, though, I've noticed, like, my neck is not as wrinkle-free as it once was. And, like, you do these things where you're supposed to, like, you know, move your hands upward.
Right.
But I notice, like, I have... Oh, come on. You've noticed, like, right, when you look in the mirror, you're like, where did that line come from?
I kid you right? not. Earlier today, I was in a sauna with a face massager working on wrinkles.
So they don't I know. But it seems like they just appear out of nowhere. Like, it wasn't there yesterday. And now today you're like, what is this wrinkle in the middle of my forehead?
Oh my gosh. You know what? I notice more. It's not so much like appearance, but it's more like my metabolism. That's the thing that I think, you know, has slowed down on me. And I've tried.
And you've been on a weight loss journey.
Yes.
But you've noticed it's probably harder to lose weight now than when you were 20.
I wish that I had started this when I was in my 20s because it would have probably been a heck of a lot easier. But now it's like, you know, if I look at something with sugar in it, I have to put on a bigger pant size 5 minutes later.
I totally get that. And I was reading about that. Some of the research I did about the body changes. Once you pass 35, you feel more hungry because your body doesn't send your brain the message that you're full because of hormonal changes in your digestion. So I actually started thinking about that because I'm pretty regimented either, and it sucks. And I want to eat sugar constantly, but I don't let myself. And
that's okay. I take care of that for you.
But I never do feel full. I really don't often feel full.
I've never felt full my entire life, so I can't even talk about this.
So maybe there's something hormonal off in your digestion process.
But speaking of hormones, that's another thing I've noticed, that there are certain times during my menstrual cycle, certain months where like a piece of paper will drop on the floor and I will have an absolute breakdown about it.
I used to think girls did
it's
that
crazy.
For attention. And then
I
started to experience it. I'm like, oh, they're not making that up.
No. And it's weird though, because it's not all the time, but it's definitely a couple times a year where I am just like a nightmare. I mean, everything is upsetting to me and I will lose it over the smallest thing.
And do you guys feel like when you have that happen to you, I almost don't remember a time before when things didn't get on my nerves, even though it'll last a day or two. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've lived this way for 20 years and then it passes and I'm like, oh my God, you're so ridiculous. Like,
right.
You knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm always like, where is the chocolate? Because if I don't have a piece of it, there's going to be hell to pay.
What is that?
I don't know. All I know is I crave it though. I mean, it's unbelievable how much I crave it.
Really? I'm salty. Like I want like salty, crunchy, you know, that's kind of where.
You know what I've actually done? This is going to sound ridiculous. But during that time when I'm famished for something sweet or salty, I've literally gone to the pickle jar and drank the juice.
The pickle juice?
Yes.
I've heard of people doing that.
It was so delicious and I almost couldn't get enough of it and I was craving it. And I'm not sure if it's like vinegar or salt. I think your body loses a lot of sodium and my eyes were wide. I couldn't wait to get to the pickle juice. Almost like I was a pregnant woman. I'm so thirsty for it. It's bizarre. And Mike's like, what happened to the pickles? Like there's no juice in that jar.
Oh, nothing. We don't know. It didn't come with juice. What do you need juice for? Well, you mentioned at the beginning, Tony, that gravity. I've noticed that a lot about my breasts. They're just not positioned where they used to be. And I mean, bras help, of course, but once the bra comes off, I'm like, oh, there they go downward.
It's like, thanks, you know, thanks, Sir Isaac Newton. I really appreciate this, but you know, and yeah, you could try different kinds of bras. And right. And then I have issues buying bras anyway, so I can't even get started with that.
We could do a whole topic on that nightmare.
It is a nightmare. Ridiculous, yeah.
Well, we want to know what it is that you guys think about your body since turning 40 or 50, 60, 30, 20, whatever your age might be. So let us know by emailing us at forever39@nj115.com.
That wraps up this week's Forever 39 podcast.
Oh, no.
I know. Loved having Toni Ann.
Me too.
We have to bring her back.
Absolutely, we will.
On next week's show, we're going to talk about if you had to entertain someone in the state of New Jersey for a day, what you would do with them. Is a college education worth it? And man or woman for a day,
that
what
is
would
an
you do?
Awesome topic. I cannot wait to discuss.
Super fun. Bye.
Bye, guys. Talk to you next week.